A quick reminder as we begin today that we're in the period of time which is waiting for the King. A period of time between the Feast of Shavuot and the Feast of Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And so as we're waiting for these feasts, these are days for us to search ourselves. I believe that Jesus is coming. Do you? He may be this year. It may be today. Wouldn't you just love to hear that trumpet right about now? Wouldn't that be great? Maranatha. I want you to know He's coming soon. And you said that last week, but it's even sooner than it was last week. Amen? He's coming sooner because these are not only the last days, but these are the last of the last. These are the days that we see all around us prophecies being fulfilled. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming about on the face of the earth. And there are some people, and young people I especially want to warn you. You say, I don't like warnings. Well, it's called nuthateo. It's called admonition. And I'm warning you today, don't be caught up in the things of this world and think that you can escape it. Don't allow it to happen. Don't allow yourself to be lulled to sleep. Don't think because mom doesn't know or dad doesn't know that it won't come out. Are you listening to me? Christian kids are under a strong protection, but they're also under a strong responsibility. And I want to say to you, a lot of you kids that are brought up in the church, you think, well, other people get away with it and then nothing happens to them. You won't. You won't. You want to know why? Because God has a covenant with your parents and He has a covenant with you and He's not going to let you go. If your language starts to turn into something that it shouldn't be, you're speaking words that you know shouldn't come out of a Christian, rebuke it. Don't allow it. I'm not just talking to young people now, I'm talking to everyone here. But young people especially, they follow around with a crowd that it starts to become kind of cute. They listen to their friends do it. And pretty soon they're on the slippery slide. You say, how in the world do you know this, Pastor? You're a goody two-shoes. I know it because I've been there and done that. I know because the only thing that's good about me is that Jesus saved me, brought me out of darkness into light. And anything I talk to you about, I probably had problems with at one time or another. But God is able. I just don't want you to get lulled into thinking that somehow things are going to go on. Pastor's been saying a long time. You know, when you're a young person, Michaela's 16 now. You're 15? How old? 13. You know, it seems like you've lived a long time, doesn't it? Wow. I hear kids sometimes say, you know, it's a little 8-year-old say, you know, all of my life I've never heard of this. Well, you know, we get tickled at it and we laugh, but you know, some of us don't realize that God's snickering in heaven when we're talking about all of my life, all of my 64 years, all of your 70 years. God says, that's not even a twinkle of my eye. But just know this, that everything that's happening now has happened before. People going through things now, they say, oh, it's a new age and there's new problems. You know, I know that there's different kinds of things going on, but you know they're all the same. Come out of the same roots. And people, when I say Jesus is coming soon, He is. And when you sit out there and quietly sneer and say, oh, they've been saying that all the time, you're just a fulfillment of Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that men will come and say, oh, since the Father's times they've been saying He's coming. I want you to know He's coming. And I want you to know this too, that there's no time to make changes after He appears. You hear me? You need to make them now. Need to be ready now. 3 John chapter 2. We're talking about prosperity. But we're not just talking about that pie in the sky prosperity that, I hesitate to say it because, you know, it sounds derogatory, but in actuality, this is a true principle. Name it and claim it. That's been used very derogatorily because of people that have used it. But technically, Jesus said that if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. That's name it and claim it, isn't it? You got to say it. You got to say it. Now, the derogatory thing comes from people who get outside of the Word of God and become presumptuous. The derogatory things when people begin to heap things upon themselves. When people begin to become pompous and proud and arrogant. When people begin to love money and pleasure more than they love God. Those things are bad. But prosperity is a scriptural term. Say that with me. Prosperity is a scriptural term. Therefore, we're talking to you about scriptural prosperity. And so far, we have looked at what is prosperity. Prosperity means to advance, to go forward. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of growth. Prosperity is what God expects His people to do. In the natural, when we're born, we're little, and we grow. We go forward. Prosperity is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. The love of money, on the other hand, is a bad thing. To love money is a pit. It's a trap. And people that come into a place where they love money will fall into a trap. But the Bible says in 3 John chapter 2, Jonathan quoted it this morning, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Somebody said, "But Pastor, don't you see that really the most important thing is soul prosperity, is it?" Well, the Scripture doesn't say that, does it? The Scripture says all of it goes together. Above all things. Where is that on your list? When something's above all things, where is that on your list? That's at the top of your list. Do you believe this is God's will? Do you believe God put this in the Bible because it was His will? That's what that literally means. I will, I desire, even I pray above all things that you may prosper. You say, yeah, but John wrote it in a letter. And God says, I'm going to include this as a part of text. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally means, is God breathed? Is this Scripture? I believe it's Scripture. Above all things, you should have outer prosperity just as you have inner prosperity. You believe that? Can you see that? So prosperity is to advance, to push forward, to flourish, to succeed in reaching. To live in abundance. How many of you have arrived? Any arrived people? You all live in abundance. There's nothing lacking. Well, you know, there's a way in which we can say that because it is ours in the Word of God. And this is the second thing that we began to learn, that this cannot begin in your bank account. Prosperity can't begin with the car you own or the house you live in. Prosperity is not a picture of what you have, because all of that is subject to change. Prosperity has to do with what's in here, in the inner man. And if you can begin to see yourself as rich, somebody said, I don't like that term, Pastor, I don't like rich. Well, I want to show you today that the Scripture calls people that serve God rich. I said rich. Oh, but I don't like rich. Don't you know that our job is to keep the preachers poor? God can keep them humble. Well, I want to say this to you. If you believe that it's God's will that some of us are just meant to be poor, and you just happen to be among them, then I want you to quit fighting it. I want you to quit trying to get out. Just stay poor and glory in it. Quit working. Well, you say, I can't do that. I know you can't. It's not God's will. God says you're supposed to work, but He didn't want you to work for nothing. He wanted to prosper you. There's people that tell me all the time, well, it's not always God's will to heal. This sickness, I believe, is from God. God put this on me. Well, if God put it on you, quit fighting it. What's the idea of going to the doctor, Dan, if God put that on you? Why do you take aspirin to get rid of that pain? Just ask for more. Bob? Must have been God's will I had that cancer. Give me some more, Lord. No! You're not going to practice what you preach in that because you know that's foolishness. And even people that will tell me things are God's will, all the time I see them fighting to try to get ahead of it. Get out of it. Some things just don't make sense. But it's religion. Religion. Religious people don't like to hear rich. Now, are there places in the Bible that they talk about rich people falling into a snare? Yeah, those that would be rich. Those that love money. Yes. Yeshua said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? But what did He explain to His disciples about it? How hard is it for those who love money, who love things, who value things too highly to enter in? Is it possible to be rich and not become corrupt? How many of you say, that's me? I'm going to become rich and not become corrupt. Amen. I want to stay pure. Why would I want to be rich? Oh, it's just I was born with this desire to be rich. No. I do have a destiny to be rich. You have a destiny to be rich. You're going to have to make a choice. I know this is not easy to take, and a lot of people just really have a hard time with talking about it. But remember, we're going to go through the Scripture. In fact, we're primarily looking at the Torah. What happened with Abraham? I kind of put you through that little exercise again. We've got a special guest today. Here directly from heaven is Abraham. Abraham's coming up. Abraham stands here. I'll take a few questions. Abraham, what do you think about this idea that God wants us rich? What do you suppose Abraham would tell you? Of course. Yeah. Duh. Why? Because we're here to be a blessing, people. What did He tell Abraham? He said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Hey, look at the stars. Can't see them like we used to, but the other night they were pretty good. I looked up and saw the stars, and boy, all of them were just standing out there really neat. He says, as the stars of the heavens, as the sands of the sea, so shall your seed be. He said this to a childless man. Today it's true. Seed of Abraham are everywhere. Everywhere. And in you and in your seed shall all the nations, say all the nations, all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the goyim, all the Gentiles will be blessed. Have we been? Are we? Are we also a blessing? Yes. How did Abraham bless? Well, directly, he was blessing people with what he had, wasn't he? Indirectly and down through the generations, he's blessed people because of who he was and what God brought forth through him. And it's supposed to happen with all of us, people. God wants to bring forth from all of us wonderful things. You need to have a vision for it. You need to begin to change your way of thinking about you. Somebody said, yeah, but you know, I did that for 6 weeks and it didn't work. That's kind of like the guy that said, I tithed once, it doesn't work. I prayed once, doesn't work. You heard about that little lady that heard that scripture that I quoted earlier about whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which they say shall come to pass. shall have whatsoever they say. She said, I'm going to give that a try. Mountain be gone. She opened her eyes and said, still there. I knew it wouldn't work. What part did she miss? She'll believe and not doubt, huh? It's the way many people pray. Many people pray. But the Bible says that Abraham got richer. In fact, his servant Eliezer said he's very great. We already talked about the fact that he had 318 fighting men in his household. He didn't just live in one tent, he lived in a city of tents. Yeah, it was a tent, but you've never lived in a tent like that, I guarantee. He lived in a nice place. If he had 318 fighting men and their wives and children, there may have been well over 2,000 or 3,000 people living there. And he was taking care of them out of his substance. The Bible said he had herds. The Bible said he had flocks. The Bible said he had silver. The Bible said he had gold. What kind of God did Abraham know? The God that did what he said he would do. And he says, I'm going to bless you. So he knew the blesser. Say the blesser. He knew the blesser. He knew the blesser. What kind of man did Isaac, his son, know? He knew the same God, didn't he? How did he know him? First of all, he knew him through his daddy. Parents, you've got a job. Do you want your children to always know you as the dad who just barely had enough and who squeezed every penny? And man, I tell you, I don't want my children to know. How would you like your children to know you? As what?
Generous.
I think maybe it would be good if our children could know us as El Shaddad. That would be more than enough. It wouldn't be El Shaddai, but because of El Shaddai, you could be El Shaddad. And El Shammam. I think it might be good. It takes an image on the inside to start getting this across. I've got this image on the inside of me. You say, but where is all that substance? Well, I'm going to tell you that it's not arrived, all of it, yet, but I believe the seed's planted. Amen? The harvest is coming. And even though I haven't arrived, I'm a long way from where I left. How about you? We're coming along. Seeds have been planted. Harvest is yet to come. So Isaac knew the man, or the God that blessed his daddy. But he also had a personal experience with God. God told him, He told Abraham, go from this land. When Abraham got to the land that he sent him to, he told Isaac, don't leave this land. Both of them got blessed by obedience, didn't they? By the way, we have a part in this, don't we? What God says about you is not 100% true unless you receive it. It's true in God's mind. It's actual in His mind, but unless you receive it, you can miss out on it. Do you know that? If you don't know it, if you think, well, I believe in this theology of no-fault religion. You know what that theology of no-fault religion is? No-fault religion is no matter what happens, it's not my fault. It must be God's will. And that, I know many, many, many people that whatever happens in their life, they call it the sovereignty of God, and many times it's stupid decisions, bad choices, not God's will. And it's blasphemy to say that it is. Is it? Of course it is. It's blasphemous. So the Bible says in Genesis 26:13, the man waxed great, talking about Isaac, and went forward and grew until he became very great. What kind of man did Isaac know? A God that blessed him till he became very great. Very great. Said he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. I mentioned last week that Abimelech came to him and said, listen, you're making me look bad, Isaac. You leave. You got more than I do, and I'm the king. Get out. Go somewhere else. And if you read about Isaac and just find out what kind of a man he was, that he went and opened up the wells that his father had dug, and every time he got water out of one of those wells again, the Philistines would come in and say, "That's our water. We already had a drilling right on that, sorry." So instead of Isaac, and I have to figure he probably had as many servants, he probably could have just whacked them. Right? But instead of that, he got up and he went to another place, opened another well. Went to another place, opened another well. Went to another place and opened another well. And each one, they keep doing that until finally he got to Beersheba. And he opened up a well, and the Bible says the water came forth of itself. Living water. Mayim Chaim. I like that, don't you? Mayim Chaim, the living water of God. Coming forth out of the ground. So he was a kind of a man that had a certain amount of humility, just as Abraham did. We saw that Abraham was a tither. I expect Isaac was a tither. You know, that generally follows along generations. We know that Jacob was. So we're talking about these guys. What kind of God did Jacob know? Well, Jacob's more like I was. Jacob had a rocky start. Did you have a rocky start, any of you? All of you start out good, born with a silver spoon in your mouth and never strayed. Some of us have done some straying, haven't we? Praise God for a Savior that loved us and came looking for us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Praise God for Yeshua. Jacob got what he wanted, but he got it by deceit. He even got what God promised, but got ahead of God and took it by deceit. And he had to flee out of the land that God had given to his father, the land that God had given to his grandfather. He left, had to go back to his uncle's house and work for a living. Had to work hard. How many of you know he worked hard? He worked hard. God told him in Genesis 20:18, before he left, he said, "Behold, the Lord stood above this ladder that he saw when he dreamed that night and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed." So he's given him a promise. But Jacob's got a flesh problem. Say flesh problem. He's carnal. He had a carnal way of trying to get along in God's world. God told him, "In your seed, again, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And he said, "I won't leave you until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of." God's got a promise. And he said the same thing to you. I won't leave you. Listen, he's saying it to you, Kimber. He says, "I won't leave you. I won't leave you until that which I've spoken about you comes to pass." Did you know the Bible says that in the Newer Covenant too? It says, "He who hath begun a good work in you will be careful to perform it." Amen? He watches over His Word to perform it. Did you know that? God wants you to be blessed and prosper and be in health. How many of you know that this blessing was on Jacob even though he had started out kind of rocky? He went to work for his father-in-law, Laban. Finally, after Laban had changed his wages, how many times? 10 times you've changed my wages. You ever worked for a guy like that? How many of you have ever worked for somebody and thought you were going to get paid one thing and you ended up getting paid something else? How many of you ever did a job for someone and they gypped you? Jeff has a story that just about cap any of them I've ever heard. Some of us have been cheated. And you know what? It could ruin your day. But to some people, it ruins their life. Did you know some people, their memories keep them from moving ahead? They remember injustice. And that's all they remember. They become obsessed with injustice. Here's something you ought to get out of your vocabulary. If only that had never happened. You know what? It did. It happened. You can't change it. Things only have power over you as long as you will allow them to have power and remember them with malice. And then it has power over you. Get rid of it. Jacob worked for Laban, and he worked. He says, "I worked in the night. I worked in the cold." He said, "I worked in the heat of the day." He said, "I served you with all of my heart." He said, "If any of the animals died, I bore the brunt of the loss." And he says, "You've cheated me 10 times. But you know what? Unlike many people today, he stayed where he was, didn't he? I know people that have quit work because the boss looked at them funny. "I just didn't like the way he looked at me. Well, I worked for 3 weeks and then he wouldn't give me a 2-week vacation, so I just quit. To heck with him. I was looking for a job when I found this one." By the way, if you feel that way, don't work for Bob. Or Keith. These two guys work you until, I mean to tell you, but you know they'll be right beside you all the way, and you can't argue with that. These guys are hard workers. I haven't ever watched Bart work except, you know, with loading things and doing things, but I know he's got a work ethic. Another farm boy. I tell you, people, it's time to start saying, you know, I can stick in there. Jacob stayed until it was time to go. How many of you know that's what we got to do? Stay until it's time to go. Don't be flighty. You know, I could see prosperity in some people's lives if they had just stuck to it. But they've never stuck to anything. And it's a curse in this generation that people don't think they should have to work. I watch a guy like Jeff Ayers, and he works a full-time job, and then he's always looking for something else to do. And God brings him to him. It's a mode that God has of bringing prosperity to my brother. You need to get that down on the inside, that hard work is not opposed to God's will for you to prosper. If you won't work, I'm right along with God. Don't eat. Amen? You say, "You're tough." Well, I live by that precept. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. And you shouldn't always be on your terms. I was talking to a lady in an office the other day, and she told me, says, "I hired this girl," and said, she told me when I hired her on, "Well, I'll take this job, but I want you to know I'm going on vacation such and such a time." I said, "Boy, things have changed." I remember the first job that I really took. I mean, I worked summer jobs, and I worked filling station jobs, and I worked different things, but I mean the first job that I really took, they didn't even offer a vacation. At the end of a year, they'd let you take some time off at your own expense. You say, was that right? I don't know if it was right or not, but it was the way it was. "Well, I've got higher priorities than work." Yeah, I do too. But you know, he says work. I said, he said work. So I think it's time for us to come back to what we're doing here. Get back to this. But here's what Laban told Jacob when it was finally time for him to go. Jacob says, "Oh, no, stay a while longer. Stay a while. I need you to stay. I don't want you to leave. I don't want..." Boy, I like to work for somebody that's the way they feel when I say I'm going somewhere else. No, stay. Please stay. What does that tell you about that guy? He was a good worker, wasn't he? He is a good worker. And here's what Laban said. Laban said unto him, Genesis 30:27, he said, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." How many of you know that where you go, you take the blessing with you? How many of you know that the blessing of the Lord is a tangible thing? Say tangible. What's that mean? Means it has substance. God's blessing. And you know, when people are blessed, even the people in their family get blessed because of it. Did you know that when people are blessed, even the people in your neighborhood are blessed because of it? How many of you believe, I'll ask everybody, all of you don't live here, but how many of you believe this community is blessed because we're here? How many of you think the community knows it? Probably not. Probably not. There's a lot of people talking about doom and gloom. We got a lot of brown trees around here. You seen the brown trees? You know what I see? I see all the new little green ones coming up. I see all the new green ones. Somebody said, it's not a matter of if, but when there's a fire. What do you suppose they're trying to do, and where do you suppose that report came from? I don't believe it. You believe it? No, we don't believe it. What do we do? The Bible says you got weapons. How many of you got your weapons? Got your sword? Got your shield? Helmet of your salvation? And the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And take into captivity. I got weapons to do this with. Take into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Messiah. You say, are you saying there could never be a fire? No, I'm not saying there could never be a fire, but I'm sure not believing for one. And I think that's stupid. Because faith works by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. But you know, the substance is what Bible says faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why would I hope for something negative? That's ignorant. But the world does it all the time. It's that same thing about talking about my sickness. It's not my sickness. It attacked me. Amen? It attacked me. I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed enforcing that God says is already mine. I've got that same attitude on the inside about healing that I do about being rich and prosperous. It's on the inside of me. It's on the inside of me. I'm well. I'm healed. I'm whole. You say, how do you enforce that? I talk about it. Who do you talk to? Anybody that'll listen to, but mostly me. Because I really trust in what I say. You do too. If you say the Word of God in your own ears, hear you speaking with your own mouth saying it, it has special power. And you need to do it. You need to speak it. You need to say it. Talking about people being a blessing wherever they go. Jacob was a blessing to Laban's house. Laban was blessed because all he knew about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was these guys are blessed. And every time they came around, he got blessed. That's right. When Abraham sent to find a wife for Isaac, he sent a whole wagon train, load of riches. And then Jacob comes, he doesn't have any riches, but he goes to work for him, and Laban gets rich. Makes more and more. And he cheats, and he cheats, and he cheats Jacob, but Jacob gets rich in spite of him. You know the story about the spotted and the straight and the striped. Well, the story is that God made the animals that Jacob was going to get be the ones that were born. And so he ended up with a huge herd. In fact, when he came away, the Bible says that he had all kinds of things. He had all kinds of riches. He had all kinds of herds. And he had help. In fact, he got to a place in Genesis chapter 32 where he split his house into two camps. And each camp was big. And it was about this time he was laying down to sleep one night, and what happened? Didn't see the ladder this time, but the Bible says an angel came. The Bible says an angel. What does angel mean?
Messenger.
A messenger. A messenger came. And he wrestled with David, or with Jacob. And they wrestled, and they wrestled, and they wrestled, and they wrestled. I never was good at wrestling. Dan was a wrestler, but I've never was cared much about wrestling. After I got held down for just about so long, I was through. And usually I really was. Like that, through. But I never was so good about it. But you know, Jacob wrestled all night with someone that turned out to be not an angel. He named him at the end. Called the place Panaim. Panaim means I've seen the face of God and lived. Talks about God's face. Panim. He wrestled. I believe he wrestled with Yeshua. I believe he wrestled with Yeshua. You say, but you know, that ought to be no contest, Pastor. Well, now, wait a second. You're missing the point. Yeshua didn't wrestle with him to try to overcome him. He was trying to allow something else to happen. And it finally did. What happened? What happened when he wrestled with him? What? Yeah, the thigh socket went out of joint, didn't it? We don't exactly know exactly what that meant, but someplace in here he had a dip. In fact, that's the reason the Jews pull that sciatic nerve out of their meat before they eat it, because it happened to Jacob. It doesn't say that God said we were supposed to do that, but that's what the Bible says. They take that out. They don't eat that sinew there anymore. But what really happened then? If he wrestled with Yeshua until what? His body, his flesh, his carnality gave way. I believe this was the greatest awakening there was. But what was it he wanted? What was he waiting for? He said, I won't let you go. Actually, the word is shalach in Hebrew. The angel says, Yeshua said to him, the day's breaking, shalach, send me away. And Jacob said, I don't care if day is breaking, I'm not going to shalach, send you away, until you bless me. Say that. Bless me. Say it like you mean it. Bless me. Are you willing to have your flesh give away for the blessing of God to become mighty in you? You see, this is where prosperity becomes a safe thing, where God is able to trust us with His biblical, scriptural prosperity, is when the flesh will give way. As long as the flesh is mighty, and by I don't care how long you've been born again or how many tears you cried when you got born again, you still got a battle with your flesh. Amen? And it needs to give way. It needs to give way. So what was really defeated? Nothing was defeated except the flesh. The flesh gave way. God said in the 28th verse, well actually in the 27th verse of Genesis 32, He said unto him, what is thy name? Now do you suppose God didn't know who he was there with? God said, what's your name? He knew his name. What did he want him to do? Say it. What did Jacob say? He said, Yaakov. Who remembers what Yaakov means? That's Isaac. Yitzchak. Yitzchak is laughter. The what? The grab the heel. Grab the heel. That's a play on words. The word for heel in Hebrew is akof. So his mom called him, because he came out of the womb, you remember, hanging on to his brother's, twin brother's heel. So she called him Yaakov. And what did he live all through his life? Well, the Bible said he actually was a man that dwelt in tents, which I believe means he was a studier of the Word of God. He listened to Abraham, his grandfather, at least until he was 15. And then his grandfather died. But he listened to his daddy for much, much longer, because his daddy was 60 years old when he was born. And he didn't die till 180. I believe prosperity and long life have something to do with each other. I believe people need to start thinking about prosperity, long life, longevity. Quit having this mindset that I only get to live 70 or 80 years and then I have to die. You don't believe that, do you? Absolutely not. No borrowed time with us. We're living here until we're satisfied. You say, Pastor, that sounds like you're trying to tell God what to do. No, He told me what to do. He said, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I'm not quite sure when satisfied is. I've been saying 120. Could be 128 or 130. But I just tell you right now, I believe this whole thing that's been going through the religious world for a long time, coming out of Psalm 90, is again blasphemy. Moses was weeping and mourning and lamenting over the fact that people were dropping in the wilderness at 70, or if they were strong at 80, but they had to drop in the wilderness by that time, didn't they? Because they had to, everyone that was 20 years old and up at the time of the insurrection in the wilderness in Numbers 13 had to die in the wilderness. Moses didn't like it. He was lamenting it. But in Psalm 91, boy, it gets back on track of long life. Long life. Get that image on the inside. Develop an image of what you desire on the inside. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll grant you your desires. In Genesis 35, one more little picture of Jacob. God said unto him, I'm God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. This is the 11th verse. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. 12th verse. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And then in Genesis 36:7, we find out that it was all done. Because listen, when it talks about Esau and Jacob in the 6th verse, it said Esau had to leave and go somewhere else. Jacob stayed in the land of Canaan because, it says, their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. That's a lot of cows. Moo, huh? That's a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep. So Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov knew a God who blesses. But what have you ever thought about the God who blesses? What is this thing about blessing? I told you a little bit about it. You've all heard the word benediction. It comes out of the Latin, benediction. I guess there's a pope today named Benedict, isn't there? Benediction. What does that mean? Bene dictum. What's it mean? Speaking well. Good speech. That's what blessing is. In the Greek, it's eulogia. Again, to speak well. Have you ever been to a memorial service and heard a eulogy? That's what it's supposed to be. Speaking well. Speaking well of people. In the Hebrew, the word is barakah. The barakah. Habarakah, which means the blessing. Habarakah, the blessing. I don't know how many of you have ever been around Jewish people, but listen, but they have a blessing for everything. Literally. If it lightnings, they do a Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, and then they thank God for the mighty power in the heavens. Many, many blessings for food, for everything we do. When we put on the tallit, there's a blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Amen? One blessing to Him. Well, He has one blessing for the world. The blessing. When Jacob deceived Esau, actually deceived Isaac, to get the blessing from Esau. What was it he wanted? The blessing. Say the blessing. Not a blessing, but the blessing. The blessing. I believe there's some tremendous power in this, and I believe we need to really spend some time meditating the blessing. God told Abraham in Genesis 12:2, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In Genesis 26:3, he told Isaac, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So what's Jacob going after? Well, remember Rachel told him, you take this meat and take it to your father and give it to him. Bring it to your father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. The 19th verse of the 27th chapter of Genesis, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Somebody said, well, you know, he got God's will in here, but I want to tell you, never, ever, say it, never, never, ever, never, no way, lie. Don't do it. Don't deceive. It's never right, never wrong. Our God doesn't lie. I could even give you times when I kind of thought, boy, if he'd have just kept that from the devil, he wouldn't have been able to see that, you know. But God wouldn't lie. God doesn't lie. And I'm a son of God. I don't lie. Jacob lied. He said, I'm Esau, thy firstborn, for I have done according as thou badest me. I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. In the 8th verse, the blessing came out like this. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. 29 says, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. I lost my place. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be every one that blesseth thee. And Esau said unto his father, when he came in and found out that all of this had transpired, what did Esau say? Esau said, ah! That's right. He wept bitterly. Why? Jacob got a blessing. Well, you say he got it the wrong way. Well, God had ordained it for him in the first place. It just did what Jacob did, he ended up having to reap for. Sowing and reaping. You sow deceit. Did he reap deceit? 10 times his wages were changed. Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing? His father said, I gave him the blessing, and I can't take it back. They wanted the blessing. The blessing. Why? What is so powerful about the blessing? In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I believe that all of Messiah's children are recipient of the blessing. But have we chosen it? I said, have we chosen to take it? Have we chosen to walk it out the way we need to? Are you a man of your word? That's what Abraham was. Did he obey God? Absolutely. That's what Abraham did. Did he trust God? Yes. He trusted God so much it was accounted to him for righteousness. He gave his tithes. That's what the Bible says. Somebody said, law. Tithes, law. Did you know that? It's before law. Before the law. Before Sinai. Why did you think it would quit? The tithe is the way of blessing. Abraham was hospitable. We saw of Jacob, he was a hard worker. We saw of Isaac that he was meek. Had great power, but he didn't use it. All of those things are types and things we see in Yeshua, don't we? Wonderful things. Are we like that? Are you able? I know you're able. Able means God's given you the ability, but are you making the right choices so that God can bless you. I personally believe if people heard well when we say, bless so-and-so, bless this one, bless that one, I believe God every time would say, I am, best I can. The best they'll let me, I'm blessing them. I'm blessing them just as much as they'll allow me to. I'm giving them just as much as they'll allow. Just as much as they've chosen to walk with me. I believe that. And I believe it's for all of us. Proverbs 10:22. Before I do that, I want to give you Galatians 3:13-14. That's not in there, Bree. Can you bring it up for me? Galatians 3:13-14. I want you to see this. Because people say, well, this, you know, so far you've talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and, you know, where do we come into this thing? You know, you've been bringing us in. You've been making it look like it's us. But I want to see it. I want to see how we're involved in this. Well, you already know that all the nations of the earth are blessed because of Abraham, right? Do you believe that? Okay. Are we finding Galatians? Galatians 3, verse 13. And then I want the 14th verse also. For you've heard of my manner of life in time past. No, that's 1:13. 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you believe that? Do you know that's the only way you have salvation? The only way the curse could be removed from your life? And what is the curse? Who knows what the curse entails? It really entails three things. Sickness, poverty, spiritual death. That's the curse of the law. And He's redeemed us. Verse 14 says, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Is the blessing on us? It's the blessing. How did He get to us? Same way it got to Abraham. Abraham received it by trusting God. By being obedient to His Word. Trust and obey. How does it come upon us? Same blessing. Don't try to make a bunch of different blessings out of it. It's the same blessing. Are you a recipient and part of the covenants of God? No, Pastor, all I want is the new covenant here. Well, I want to tell you, if you understand the new covenant, you know that it was building from the very first one in Eden. And they all apply. I'm a covenant partaker. So what about the blessing? What does it do? God's blessing. Proverbs 10:22 was up there already, but let's look at it again. The blessing. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of Yahweh, it maketh what?
Rich.
Wait a second. Now, Pastor, are you sure that's the right word? Are you sure it doesn't say Ashrei, happy? No, it doesn't say Ashrei, happy. It says the blessing of the Lord, the Barakah of Yahweh, maketh rich. And what is it about this riches? And by the way, there's a lot of people with a lot of money that can't say this. It addeth no sorrow with it. Addeth no sorrow. If you want to come around and hear this, there's blessing in it. And you know, hearing and hearing and hearing, if you'll keep hearing it, you'll begin to build this image. You'll begin to believe it. You'll begin to say it. Now the Bible does give some warnings, doesn't it? It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent makes what?
Rich.
What is rich? What is blessing? What is the blessing? What does that word mean? The blessing. Eulogy. Barakah. But really, what?
Talk well.
That's right. It has to do with talking well. And God spoke well. And His speaking over us all has substance. When God says something, it has substance, doesn't it? God stepped out into the realm of total darkness and said, light! Actually, he said, or. And when he said it, it was. It was a created light. Can you do that? Well, I want you to know something. He put that same image in you, and as long as you speak in line with what he says, you can confirm what he says and expect the same results. That's why Jesus would say something like he did about the mountain. Have to speak in line with the Word of God, don't you? You can do it. So really, this blessing means to speak to enable. Speak to activate. To speak to empower and give ability to prosper. You look up Barakah in your Strong's Concordance. Tell me if prosperity is not in there. It's there. It's there. Amen? Are you diligent? That's what it says. The hand of the diligent makes rich. That's what made Jacob rich. The blessing to a diligent man. Are you diligent? You can be. You know, 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know. Say, I know. I know. Let's read it now. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. How many of you think that's spiritual? Of course it is. But how many of you think the richness that He's talking about is spiritual richness? It's all richness. The context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is all about people giving offerings. Talking about money. You don't have to believe me. Go home and study it. It's talking about money. Does God want us rich? And if He does, why?
To advance
what?
To advance the kingdom.
To advance the kingdom. I want to bless you, and you will be a blessing. Say this with me. Say, I am the blessed of God. I hear His words. I obey. I am faithful to hear and to do. I speak the same words that He speaks. I believe what He says. His word makes me prosperous. Do you believe that? If you believe it and you begin to walk in it. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to walk out of here today and start looking in the sky for envelopes to drop or money. Did you know your money's not going to come from heaven? God's not a counterfeiter. I don't think He sends money down from heaven. But you know, when Elijah was hungry, He sent a bird with food. Did you know that? And that food was some kind of food. He lived 40 days. Actually, an angel brought some food one time. Elijah lived 40 days on that angel food. Pretty good stuff. God will supply your need, but here's the thing. The Scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Shall men, who?
Men
give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. You know, the Lord's done something in our midst today. How many of you believe something's been sown into us? You see, this is why we come together. People say, well, I just don't see any need in it. I'm a believer. I can go out and worship God on a hike or with my fishing pole in my hand. I hope you can't. But that doesn't ever do away with the need of coming together with brothers and sisters of like faith and letting the Word of God be spoken. Amen?
Amen.
And we receive it. Do you receive it?
Amen.
Say, I receive it.
I receive.
Say, I choose life.
I choose life.
I choose the blessing.
I choose the blessing.
Hold your hands both up right now and receive this blessing. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. And may Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you shalom. We receive it in the name of Yeshua. Amen.